Welcome to the special edition of the Uptime Wind Energy Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Hall, and I'm here with my co-host, Joel Saxon. We're still in San Diego at ACP OM&S, and we have run into a bunch of new technology while we've been at the show. And one of them is UV-cured resin systems, because when it's cold outside, you really can't use standard epoxies. And it's cold in most of America and the world right now. Yeah, so all repair businesses essentially shut down until it gets to about 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which could be a while, particularly in the northern latitudes. So we run into Marvin Hurdler with Bergelin, and Bergelin has a new product in the UV space, and also Michelle Bonnet with fiberglass. And I have worked with, I have purchased some fiberglass material, UV cured material, and it's really awesome, actually, for some projects that we are working on. So this, I really want to just touch on the UV space, because there hasn't been a lot of UV resin applications in wind. We had touched, I'm from aerospace background, we have used it there. But in the wind world, we haven't, which is crazy, because our season is so short. The repair season's crazy short.
And you're up tower.
And yeah, you're up tower.
And access is tough.
It's really hard, right? But these new UV resin systems are magical. It's crazy good. And as someone who's tried it, it's amazing. It's amazing, and I'm surprised we haven't done this years earlier, but it's finally coming to market. So I want to talk about this sort of the one I use first, which is the fiberglass repair pouch. So Michelle, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit, but you guys are fiberglass is based in Ohio, right? So you're a U.S.-based company, and fiberglass does all kinds of things, fiber-related, resin-related. You're like a resource.
Correct. We've been in business for about 65 years. Our website is fiberglass.com. We sell to a guy in his garage doing a small repair to a lot of large companies in the aerospace, automotive, and of course wind. We work predominantly with small quantities. We ship them very fast. If you order before 2:30 Eastern time, they ship same day. So it is imperative in the wind industry to get those products out quick. We teamed up with a company called Sunres that has been an industry leader in UV for about, correct me if I'm wrong, but around 30 years. And recently got GE approved UV prepreg. So it's a 300 by 700 millimeter patch. It comes in UD 1000, Biax 806, and the Combi 900. Okay. It is a vinyl ester resin that is cured UV. You can typically lay up about 10 layers. Very easy patches that you can build very quickly, get it up to the blade, and apply.
One of the things I want to touch on that you said there, and this is super important for the space, right? Anybody that's an ISP, blade repair, that's listening, or an asset owner, is that it is GE approved.
Yes.
Right? Because I know we were at Blades USA when we were all kind of talking through some of these new UV cured systems, and that was some of the ISP saying, well, this is great. I mean, we can take a project that normally would take us 6 hours to let some cure and do some layering. Now it takes us 10 minutes. That's a game changer for everybody, right? In different weather conditions, which is even better. But is it approved? Can we use it on specific blades? Will the OEM still, you know, honor warranties or things like this? That was some of the big questions. And to say that product is GE says, yes, good to go. Well, that's huge. I mean, that's not just social proof. That's technical proof. We can use these products in the field and trust them.
Correct. And we do carry a non-hazardous, it's an acrylate, a modified acrylate epoxy in these 12 by 12 patches of chop strand mat and the Combi 900 as well. Yes. Those are currently with GE in testing to get that non-hazardous approved. Fiberglass is really good. We're all hazard trained, ship dangerous goods. We overnight stuff when needed. And so these hazardous patches can be shipped for an expense. The non-hazardous is kind of a game changer because it takes that money away and lets us ship overnight without any additional costs. So it is currently with GE. They are testing to make sure, but you really won't see any type of difference in strength properties, all of that. So it should, as quick as GE can.
We might have this conversation next year.
get approved fairly quickly. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we're working on. But we do carry the 12x12 patches as well as those approved hazardous 300mm by 700mm patches.
And that patch you buy, since I purchased this thing, it comes in a sort of foil-lined pouch that it's all ready to go. You open the pouch, you slide the patch out, you apply it to the turbine blade, roll it in, kick it off if you need to. It has a clear plastic coating on it, so it hardens on the surface. That's one of the things that everybody, I think, needs to know, right, is that there is a plastic coating over top of the material so that it doesn't oxidize and be really kind of sticky. So it'll cure out all the way perfectly, which is really simple to use. Electrical engineer me was able to do it. But it is one of those things, like it's a little bit different than maybe a standard epoxy, but it's really simple. Like if I had to do a quick repair out somewhere in January or February on a wind turbine, that's what I'm using because I can do it.
Right, and the hazardous material comes with, and everything's kind of color-coded.
Right.
So you have a black plastic lining that you would initially take off to put on the blade, followed by a PET clear that remains on there because it is a vinyl ester, so it does need kind of that airless finish.
Yes.
And then it has an orange material that is UV blocking. Mm-hmm. So what that allows you to do is apply however long it takes you to apply.
That's right.
Yeah, then you remove that orange film, and bam, that's when the sun hits. Now, we really recommend the LED UV lamps, even out in the field where the sun is present when you've got sun out. And what that does is it cures a little quicker. So we're talking, instead of 5 to 10 minutes, you're talking 3 to 5 minutes. But it also gives you that consistency. You can make sure that it's cure. Sometimes if the sun doesn't quite hit or you get a cloud or something like that might happen, you know, you might not get consistent UV.
So that
lamp is important.
So let me ask you about that lamp. Now I'm just looking from an operational perspective, right? If people are on ropes or in a basket or something, that's a different story. But what size is this? What are those lamps? The lamp itself.
Oh, the lamp itself.
You got to work with that tower.
It's about 10 by 12.
Big.
It is fairly small.
Okay.
You hold it about 13 feet from the cure itself.
13 feet?
Oh, sorry, 13 inches.
Oh, I was like, how are you going to do that?
13
you
feet.
You got some really long arms.
What I love about it is it has very different mounting capabilities. So you can either strap it to hold. It does have some handles that you can use.
Okay.
There's just different ways and different methods that you can use to strap it onto something or secure it to someplace.
So if you're on ropes, it's not too bad to just take it with you.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it would hang off of a belt. It's really lightweight.
Okay, perfect.
So the magic to this is that the UV light is triggering a chemical reaction. It's breaking some bonds or triggering some bonds so that it starts to, the material warms up itself. It self-heats and self-cures. So it's like having a heat gun without having a heat gun. Using a lamp to trigger the heat in the material, and boom, it cures out. It's magical.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch and play with,
And that's what the game-changing is, right? Something like we said earlier, that would be 6 to 8 hours between layers, between top coat and all these different things. Now it's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's cured hard.
The best part about it is humidity levels, temperature, none of that is important. It just kind of takes that out completely. We had done some testing when we first started carrying this material, and we were in 30 degrees, just sat it out on a picnic table, 5 minutes, it was cured, completely cured.
30 Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah, 30 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
So I want to touch on this just for a brief moment. When we say hazardous and non-hazardous, what we're saying is polyester hazardous. It's the odor of the thing. It has a certain odor to it if you've been around polyester. And the standard non-hazardous, which is epoxy, has really no smell to it.
No smell to it at all.
It's
a lot of the demos that we've been doing at some of the different shows are very much inside a hotel, and you just can't have that vinyl ester, polyester, the styrene smell that everybody is aware of.
Right from the booth, every once in a while, we were there this week. Oh, wham! What is that? They cured it, and they were hitting it with a hammer.
It's amazing material. And I want to start talking about the Bergolin material, because this is something new too.
Yeah.
And Bergolin is based out of what country?
Germany. So based in Germany, we're working in wind over 20 years already.
Yes.
We are from the coating side. So we started with J-codes, fillers, top coats, LEP systems.
Yep.
In the manufacturing side for sure. And then I would say like 3 to 5 years ago, we started also going into blade repair business. Because the OEMs are asking for it. We need a different solution. Same application or a different application method, has to be faster, easier to apply, rope access, platform, whatever you have. So this was the reason we started going into the blade repair. And last year or 1.5 years ago, we started thinking about UV materials. So we started manufacturing not only, but also developing a UV filler first. This was the first material we launched into the market, not only for blade repair, but also for other composite repairs.
Okay, so for like leading edge damage or something to fill in the little bumps and the bruises.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, especially the good thing with the UV material is always you have a single part material. You don't have to mix anymore. You don't have the part life.
The shelf life goes away and all the mixing goes away. So, you know, the mixing nozzles and
makes
all
it
the,
easier.
The craziness involved with that.
Yeah.
You've seen errors.
You just got to keep
so many errors with the mixing nozzle.
Just keep it dark. make sure the sun doesn't hit anything.
But it's not that sensitive to light. The Briglin material is very narrow frequency, light frequency, to make it trigger.
Exactly. So we have found a way to integrate a UV blocker inside the material. So if you apply this material and the filler and the resin too, it's the same chemistry in the sun directly. It will not cure without the curing lamp. So you can do it in the sun. Depending on the UV index, you will have an amount of time. So with the filler, for example, when we have a very high UV index, we tested it here in Texas last year. UV index 900 degrees Fahrenheit. And you still have 3 minutes to apply the filler probably in the sun.
Wow. Okay.
And then you put the UV lamp on top and then it starts curing.
Okay. Yeah. So in the other piece to the Briglin material, which is called, I'm going to get this right, Briglin LED?
Yeah, for LED.
LED. Is it Briglin LED?
Yeah, it's Briglin LED. Yeah, you can
Briglin LED? Okay, all right. So it's a speed resin, I think is how we would say it in America, speed resin. That's what's going to stick. It has a color to it. So when you apply the resin, so you have dry fabric from fiberglass, and you're applying the resin to it, it's red or a pinkish color.
Yeah.
So the UV light, when you kick it off, turns it clear. So
exactly. When
you do, and I think this is the problem that everybody's worried about, when I do 5, 8, 10 layers of repair, how do I know I got the UV down to that last layer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the tinting part of it, that eliminates that as a question.
Yeah.
It just changes colors.
Especially when we're doing it in blade repair, we were not aware how easy it would be to test if all the layers cured through.
Right.
It's easy testing with the epoxy. You go ahead the curve of the temperature and everything.
Right.
You don't have that with the UV material. It's not getting hot or whatever.
Right.
So we found a way. This is an initiator from a different industry, and we use it normally for floor coatings. Because they're doing the same thing with the UV stuff, and it's first blue or red, and then they see if it's cured or not. It's colorless afterwards.
Okay.
So we use the same.
Why have I not seen this? This is cool. Okay.
It's so they make this product for like at Home Depot. You can buy it. Not the same product, right?
No.
Same concept. It's like putty you'd like fill nail holes with in the wall.
Right.
And when you put it on, it's pink, and when it dries white.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. But it's genius. I always buy it when I need it because I want to know when the job is done.
Exactly.
Right? Boop, and then you see all these little pink dots all over the place, and in like 10 minutes, they all turn white, and you're like, all right, we're good here. We can paint over it.
Okay.
That's slick as hell.
Yeah, it just makes it easier, especially for the techs to see directly in visual if it's cured or not. So this is something we figure out. It's the same with the putty too. So we have also the same idea, first red, then colorless after curing. So to just make sure you can do a repair, the whole repair, with just visual looking, okay, it's cured or not.
I think that there's something important here to touch on. So cost of poor quality, COPQ as it's called in business, is a huge thing in the wind industry because the engineers are not on the blades and they're the ones that have to look at the repairs to make sure they're well done. I mean, your blade techs, that's the front line, that's the people you have to trust. But what happens, of course, in the world, as people who listen know this, you're in the field, you're taking pictures, putting together repair reports, all this stuff, and then that gets sent to the back office or sent to the client. They have to approve it, or you may have to come back up. Sometimes it's live where they're taking pictures right now and someone's looking at them remotely to make sure the repair is done properly. What you guys are doing is engineering that process kind of... You're dummy proofing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, this is the idea, right?
Yep, it was red, it's clear now. Yeah, you are good to go. There's no... there's no approval needed. I mean, it is
right,
what it
just
is.
Think about the other reports that we've written up.
Yes,
the temperature outside, the humidity outside, and all of that. And then obviously bring words that are going to cure out before they start playing the top coat to it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the solution that you're putting forth for solutions is part of the solution for scaling the wind technician fleet of people.
Well, yeah, we need to extend our window. The technicians are essentially sitting on the sidelines for 6 months out of a year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We need to put the guys back to work and just start fixing blades because, especially at this conference, where you walk the halls here and start talking to operators, everybody, because it's February, everybody's got huge blade issues. They got a lot of blades. Can they even get them all done this year? The season's short. They're trying to schedule people. There's not enough technicians. Well, if you just double the amount of time you have to go out and do some of these things, it makes life a lot easier.
And you're cutting down on the time on blade and on project.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
that's a big speeding it up quite a bit.
Yeah, because now a team of a rope access team with two people on it, and instead of fixing one turbine per week, they can now maybe fix three.
Sure,
that's huge.
It's the speed. We talked about that, especially when we talk about the countries, North Canada or also the North U.S. States. So they had the biggest issue, especially in winter, doing no repair at all.
And just sitting.
So we're talking about turbines who was just standing still, not producing any energy. So this is the reason we're trying to get in contact most of the time, starting with operators owners, because they have to pay for it.
Sure.
And they have to pay or not getting paid for downtime. So they're trying to make it fast. Even if it's just in the beginning, a temporary repair with the UV materials, because they say, okay, we want to test that first. Seeing the same repair in 6-8 months later in the summer, everything is good.
Yeah.
But so they can start use the turbine again in operation, so they don't have the downtime at all. And now they just have to wait until the temperature is high enough, the humidity is low enough, whatever they have limitations on.
Yeah, that's something that you see quite often in the industry is like, hey, we've got a damage, we need to patch this thing just to get it through the winter.
Yeah.
Because if you get ice, snow, water, anything in there, and then your core gets wet, then you end up running into real big problems.
Yeah.
So now you have a solution where you can go into a temporary repair. It's technically kind of permanent, but...
Yeah.
But you could go up there and you could slap one of those panels on, UV cure it, move on to the next one before the wet weather changes.
It's genius. Yeah, it really is. And I know when I first saw Fiberglass website, why haven't I seen this before? Like, well, we just released it, so you had a good reason for it because you just brought it out. But I was probably one of the early people to see it and try it. So it's amazing. And if I'm an operator trying want to try this material, because they don't want to try it, right? They want to check in or independent service provider. They want to play with the material before they take it out in the field. What do they need to do? Who are they calling? Are we calling Fiberglass here? Are we calling Michelle and say, hey, give me a sample. Send me a sample.
Exactly.
What should they be asking for? They should be asking for the polyester material for GE turbines, the epoxy for Vestas. What's the scenario here?
So right now, probably the hazardous is the most popular.
Okay.
But any of them, like I said, the strength properties, all of the properties are almost identical.
Go in the data sheet. There's a data sheet there you can download.
On the website, we have the product data sheet and the SDS available for you to take a look, decide what you want. Our business development manager, his name is Rod Miotti. He's over at our he's manning the booth while we're over here.
Yeah.
he's the guy to get in touch with.
That's
yes.
Rod Miotti.
Yeah. Rod Miotti. He is probably the best person, or call up customer service. They'll be happy to process one for you.
Okay.
The best part about these things is if you buy direct from Sunres, you're buying boxes of the stuff. We do like to downsize. So our 12 by 12 patches, you could buy a single patch. You could buy a pack of 12. You could buy
case
of 10.
Yeah.
And, same with the other patches are in packs of 10. Or in a case, so we can get some samples out to you, let you give it a try. The 300 by 700 millimeter patches, they're very easy to cut as well, and very easy to use as far as just peeling everything off. All of the packages have your step-by-step instructions on what you do, which film to release, what,
very clear,
everything
even
that
for
you
engineer.
Do, very clear, yes. Very concise. To make sure that there's not anything. Our customer service is trained. You can call the 800 number if you're having problems. They can talk you through something. But definitely give us a call, place an order through the website, or contact rod.
Yes. And it's fiberglass, F-I-B-R-E-G-L-A-S-T. So you just Google that, you're going to get to Michelle's website. Mm-hmm. All right, for Berglund, how are we getting a hold of Berglund? Because you guys are over in Germany, and this podcast goes worldwide, so you're going to have people calling you from all over the world. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I run the whole U.S. business here, so and I do the technical training, the commercial side too. Also, we operating or helping also the training companies like Red Wing Academy, TSL, Wind Trade Company too, to make sure that they get the hold of the materials.
Yeah, sure.
So training train the trainer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been there. I doing like 2 or 3 trainings a week right now because everyone is interested in the new materials for sure.
Right.
So I make sure that they get their first training with me and then they can train their technicians.
Okay.
We even have a process description where everything, every step is perfectly written down with pictures. So how close you have to go with the lamp, how many layers you have to, you need to apply in one step.
To cure that section.
So if you have to have P-apply or do a vacuum.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that there are no questions at all afterwards.
Sure.
And if there are any questions, they always can call us.
And your YouTube, I saw a YouTube video you sent me this today, which is very explanatory. So you can get a lot of information.
So easy, a lightning engineer can do it.
Yeah, I am not a composites expert for sure.
Actually, this was the idea we had.
Get it that simple, everybody, huh? So Berglund is B-E-R-G-O-L-I-N. If you just Google that and put UV behind it, you're going to come across the UV material.
Yeah.
It's fantastic stuff. So if you're a technician, you're an operator, you're an ISP looking to speed up operations or extend your season, you need to get a hold of Michelle, you need to get a hold of Marvin and talk UV cured resins. So it's the future. So thanks to both of you being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you.